Is this Survivor? What? Bro, are you listening to Survivor? Guys, I think this is Survivor. Dude, you must really like Survivor.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Survivor, Buffs, Blindsides, and Banter Podcast. This is a podcast made by superfans, with superfans, for superfans. I'm your host, Buckles, and with me, I have a special guest. I have the runner-up of Season 2, Australian Hunted. I have Jordan Hutchinson.
Man, that was way too much. Thank you. It's actually so good to be on with you tonight. I've been looking forward to it. I love Survivor. Obviously, Hunted is what I'm known for a little bit more now, but Survivor's been the one true thing that I've always loved. So to be able to jump on and discuss with you, hopefully argue once or twice, I'm looking forward to it.
Nah, this is going to be good. Maybe this is actually your interview to get on to Survivor. Now that, like, Hunter's in the background now, it's finished, it's done. Now let's interview you. Let's get you on Survivor. Let's prove to everyone how big of a super fan you are.
That's perfect. I'll just cut this and go straight into my application.
Yeah, done. Now, everyone, unfortunately, my mate Mac, who does sit with me most weeks, so pretty much every week, is out this week. He had to sort of bail out a few hours before this podcast, just a little bit under the weather. However, we've got his buff here. So I know what his buff is, and the truth is I wish he was on because I am so against who he chose. And I think you know who it is as well, Jordan.
We'll discuss it because though he's not here, we might as well attack him.
Yeah, let's we'll rip into him. Anyway, talking about people getting ripped into, I think we should start this episode with the same person that I'm pretty sure we start every episode with, and we talk about Hurricane Venus. Like, whoa, she continues to blow things up and with no social capital at all.
It's like such a naive confidence. I think it proves she's 20. Like, yeah. I love it, aspects of it, but then you also cringe because you know it's going nowhere, right? I mean, somehow she was able to kind of maneuver away, and I don't think it was necessarily her that did it, and we'll talk about it further, obviously, with who gets eliminated. But I think it was more the fact that they wanted to get rid of a threat than herself. But she was just, what was she doing? What was she thinking?
I don't know. I sort of talk about it as Venus's reading the room has let her down again. I've got to say, it's not that her strategy's bad. Like, she's probably picking the person that she needs to pick. Mm-hmm. She really is. But I guess when we talk about the best players and the best moves ever, we talk about there's a lot of build-up to them making that big move because they're building that social capital. They're getting their allies on their side. They're getting reasoning behind them, and they're able to push the subtle hints in the votes previously, and then all of a sudden they're able to come up, okay, let's do this, and everyone's like, yes, I trust you. I think you're going to do this. Let's do this as well. Venus seems to have just skipped the social capital part. We talk about how she actually had no one on Nami. She had absolutely no one. And now she's coming into the merge like she has an army, but she doesn't.
I think we get these players every season. Now, some aren't as large as Venus in the sense of just screen time. What is she thinking? That reading the room, that confidence that is there, but why? She's nearsighted, and that's what you kind of just explained. Like, it's all has to happen now, and it's going to be this move now, and I've got these people behind me now, and everything's happening now with no real background, with no real groundwork, with no real, again, saying alliances and actual alliances. She is that person that can't let go as well. I'd say she can't let go, right? She holds on. And in the game where if you hold on, it's going to bite you in the butt eventually, right? We see it every time. But she can't. But she thinks she's got enough power that she doesn't have to let go. I don't know what it is. It's a fascinating...
It's fascinating, but I am here for every second of it. Like, holy crap. She is awesome, TV. I would not change her for the world.
Is she equivalent to Hurricane Kelly in the Australian Survivor that just happened? Now, Kelly was something else.
Yeah, she was something else.
Something else. And I loved it, that about Kelly. And each week it gave us something to be like, what is about to happen? Not quite on that scale, but also I'd compare the two in the sense of just, what are you thinking? Yeah. Where are you pulling that from?
Look, characters-wise, they're definitely different characters, but they're still as big as each other. They are huge. So I'll definitely be with you there. The strategy, there is strategy behind Venus. She has strategy. Mm-hmm. Kelly thinks she has strategy. So I think there's where they definitely differ. But this is brilliant. And I think when you refer back to Venus being 20, let's talk about how she handled Maria in this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And now Maria is a very sure of herself woman. Mm-hmm. She is a juggernaut player. She's just won immunity, so she's got the power realistically because she's not going home. Massive episode for Maria. And she's brilliant. She's in a really good spot. We will talk about the plus one alliance and where that goes after tonight, just because we do lose Tim in this episode. But she is just so sure of herself, and she's happy. She's confident. She wants to play her own game. And then you've got this 20-year-old come up to you and pretty much tell you what to do. Say, I've got the power because I'm with Nami. Let's go for another Nami. I want to go for this person. And now they've only known each other, what, 2-3 days?
Yeah, literally.
like no time at all. And Venus is just telling her what to do. Now, Maria, I think Maria handles it well, even in the confrontation after. Well, we wouldn't call it a confrontation. Even when Maria sort of talks to Venus after and says, you sort of pushed yourself on me, and then they sort of just, this is going nowhere, let's leave it alone.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't talk to a Maria like that. And I'm 32. And like, own my own business and stuff. Like, I like to think I've got some sort of power, but I wouldn't talk to her like that. You just don't do it. And it puts people off.
We obviously know we don't see every discussion that people have. But when Venus goes down to the beach and approaches Maria, Maria does handle it perfectly well. But if you watch her body language at the very start of that conversation, you know that it's like off-putting straight away. Maria's like, wait, what? It's almost like she takes a second to absorb what's happening because she's older, a bit wiser, not as, you know, didn't snap back. She's actually just processed like, wait, what is this chick doing? And it's that social, like we've all seen enough Survivor now. Even if you got on to season 46 because you're some famous person, right? Whatever. And you don't really know the game, you're going to watch parts of it. Even if you watch one season, you know that Survivor is first and foremost a social game. And to approach someone that you barely know in such a strong way, that's a nice way of putting it. And I loved Maria's, like when we see it, she come back and they have that conversation by the camp. And I love Charlie, like waking up and then closing his eyes again. She handles it so well. And I think I actually had noted a couple of times, like Maria got a good amount of screen time this episode, but it wasn't heaps, but what we saw was excellent. And I think we're going to see Maria a little bit more. I've got that feeling. But for Venus, it was just, again, all the right, well, not all the right thinking, 80% the right thinking, but then the way of going about it, 10%.
Yeah.
like, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? No, okay, but now I have someone that I want to compare her to.
Okay, and let's go.
Now, this is someone that we're going to probably say had a horrible episode as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But Q,
On yeah.
Do we see Venus and Q in the sort of the exact same sort of way? It's my way or the highway. No one else can do anything. But Q just has that social capital first.
I have a question for you. Does he have that social? Now, he does because he was able to pull off the moves. But I think he absolutely undid absolutely everything. And I think Kenzie quickly worked out and Tiff, it's Tiff, isn't it? Yep. Yeah. Kenzie and Tiff quickly worked out, man, this guy's a little unhinged, but let's not worry about it now. He's there. But I reckon his social capital is gone. I think it's like almost non-existent. And I think in a game that moves so quickly and there's some good players out there, they're happy. It's not time for Q. But I think Q, because he was great in the first few episodes, but just how strong he was. He was like, oh, my notes, right? The first like 10 points are all Q. It's like Q, 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 Q. What are you doing? Q.
It's been the Q game up until this point. The buff leaderboard reflects it.
Yeah,
It's been the Q game. He was realistically the dominating factor on Yanu. He makes this plus one alliance, which we discussed last week, he needed to make. It was a very smart move for him to make, and he's worked it out perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Tim obviously was not the person that was really ever in it or didn't suggest that he was in it and just sort of left it as an option, which we see he doesn't. But Q puts himself in this perfect spot. He teams up with Tim, who's realistically the physical player on Seager. He catches up with Hunter, who's the physical player on Nami. He is got these social threats around him. He's got Tiff, he's got Maria, he's got Tevin now in this plus one alliance. So he's built something, but I agree completely. He has demolished a lot of that in this episode.
Very protective.
Yeah.
Like he got so and good old plus one alliance. I've got a new name for it.
Yeah.
The plus one alliance is forever known now as minus one alliance.
Minus one
alliance. So a small thing that I think was quite interesting that they put in there. The immunity challenge when they broke the tribe into two, the alphabet game. So Q jumps up and it's flat and no one's doing anything and he brings up this alphabet game. And for the next 2 minutes of TV, of the US Survivor, that time is precious, he just yells at everyone and is like, what are you doing?
Oh, you got it wrong.
You're an idiot. And it's just like, I felt that was actually very important that they put it in there. I think it's just showing the demise of Q because like you said, up until this point, like the plus one alliance in thought and in structure to start with was brilliant. And the boys were... Tim and Hunter were somewhat bought in enough. And it seemed like we're going to run with this for at least a couple of episodes. And within an episode, it was done.
Yeah.
And it's just like, ah, man. And it was. It's very, like, you can compare both Venus and Q in that sense. I think Q also kind of young. And, you know, I think young players get a little bit demolished and bagged out on Survivor.
Yeah.
But I think there's a reason for that. And I don't know. I think Q could be next out. I don't know. We definitely
will talk about it. I want to say yes. That's what I'm getting from this. It is the demise of Q. We've had him as such a big force of this season. And this episode, I think it's been running for the last two or three episodes where we're starting to see him just get too much power to just dip. Mm-hmm. We're at the peak and it's about to go down from here. We love. And I think we're going to, when we get into who's in the best position after this week, I think we're going to talk a lot about how to play New Age Survivor. Yeah. And, like, unfortunately, in the New Age, the biggest head gets... What is it? The biggest...
The saying?
What is it? What's the saying?
He's done.
The biggest blade of grass gets chopped or some shit like that. The person that sticks their head up the most gets hit.
It is true.
Whack-a-mole. That's New Age Survivor.
It is. And... I mean, maybe my favorite quote from the whole episode is Q's in a little side interview at the after the immunity, and he goes, "Going into tribal, I didn't need immunity." I was like, "What is this guy talking about? Like, what type of strategy is that? Like, either A, that was his strategy, and you're crazy, or two, he fell off and his pride got to him again, protectiveness of him being awesome, which he hasn't not been awesome. And he just, I don't know, but it just, I just laughed. I was like, oh man, yeah. Q, man.
Look, Q, look, we're on this tribe. Let's talk about this split, this six mm-hmm. that we've got in mm-hmm. front of us. So we've got Hunter, Ben, Tim, Q, Kenzie, Tiff. Now, I think things would have changed completely if Kenzie was not immune. This would have been a very interesting episode because we've seen in the past that Q wanted to get Kenzie out earlier in the earlier in the game. And let's be serious. Q seems to be 100% in on this plus one alliance. He doesn't give a shit about Yanu anymore. He's all in on this plus one alliance. And Tiff's there. Now, we do see him talking with Kenzie.
Mm-hmm.
We don't hear that they would have gone for Kenzie.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Kenzie could have been in a lot of trouble if she did not have immunity. Because realistically, out of the plus one, it's Ben or Kenzie.
Yeah.
And Ben's pretty beloved. Like, he's pretty liked.
Yeah. The six we're talking about now, such interesting dynamics, right? Because for the plus one alliance, there's a bunch of them there. So it automatically puts them in a bit of a predicament, right? Especially if one disagrees or two, which we see play out. And Kenzie getting immunity, I felt like she almost knew that going into the immunity. She felt probably that she got carried to start with when she was split up into that group.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I don't know. It's a very interesting one. I know that you guys, last episode, did you say that Kenzie was the person that was going to go out?
That's genuinely what I thought. That was the I think both of us decided that.
You did. You did. Yeah,
we'll talk about that later.
I just think that I see that, but it was so perfect that she won immunity because then it just blew up. And Hunter, can we, like, I don't know where I'm segueing for you, but Hunter's episode, this episode was quite interesting. I thought, like, he was in a situation where he had the immunity idol. He knew that he was potentially under threat, but he was very calculated again. At the moment, Hunter's game is too perfect. It's too perfect.
It's too good.
It's too good.
I'm
trying to pick things from it, and I can't.
Yeah. No, look. I think the only person that's good for Q really being in the future is Hunter, because while Q's in, Hunter has a shield, and Q is the only person in this game that can shield Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is going to be a very interesting week next week, because if we do get a Q blindside or a Q vote out, all of a sudden Hunter's in trouble at eight.
Yep.
He's in trouble probably a lot earlier than we're thinking he's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we discussed last week, holy crap, he is in a good spot. He's in a really good spot. And not to mention his immunity options. He has got such a broad range in immunities, in immunity skills, that he could genuinely win out from seven. He's the one player in this new era that I think could possibly win out from seven.
Yep.
So who knows? He's got an idol. He gets Q next week, an idol the week after, and then wins out from seven. Hunter's our winner. He might Holloway's.
Hey, calls him out. Let's go. Let's just fight it out. And he honestly could. I do worry when they all come together, that you will see that the tall blades of grass.
Not while Q's in the game, but
yeah. And it's fascinating, though, do some of the players, like a Tiff and a Kenzie, pick up that, Q's not a problem. Hunter's a problem.
I think this actually, I'd like to bring this to the reason that I think Soda and Venus had such an issue. And it's because Soda, and I heard this in an exit interview, Soda made a day one friendship with Venus and they got along quite well. After a few days, Soda realizes that Venus isn't a part of the group. Mm-hmm. So Soda starts removing herself from Venus. Then, but Soda also can't piss off Venus because she still has to live with her. She still has to play with her. She still has to deal with her. So she's trying to withdraw, but she's got to leave her at arm's length to a point to not look like she's still in her pocket. Mm. Now, with Kenzie and Tiffany, with Q in the game, unfortunately, it's a similar thing. I completely agree. He's the devil you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's the devil you know. You can handle him. You know what he's thinking. You can see what he's thinking within reason. He chops changes, stuff like that, but he's still doing it with you. If you start withdrawing, you're probably going to get more hurt in the future because you already have that already alliance. Whereas if you've got him there right in front of you as your shield, keep him there. You play to his strengths as long as it goes with yours.
Yep.
And like, that's the best way to play this, right?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. And it was fascinating. Both tribes almost played out identically. There was so much flip-flopping from players like Tevin that we'll talk about. Q.
I can explain that, but there's six people in two tribes. This wasn't a tribe of 12. There were six people in two tribes.
Yeah,
there's only so many names out there.
It's true. It is true. But with that and the New Age US Survivor, we haven't seen also a big time player win a season, I don't think, from my opinion. When I say a big time player, I mean can play the game but is also a threat somewhat early on.
Look, I think D is probably the closest that we've had, if I'm correct here. I think D is definitely the only person that's even near this. Oh, Yam Yam is definitely an option. But they're as big, and they're both social threats. They're not physical. Yep. They're both social. Yeah.
So. And this season, we have a bunch more threats, like Hunter, for example. Q, yes, terrible episode, but before now, Q, or if somehow he can get through and survive a little while, Q. But then we have some of the women that are super strong.
Maria.
As well.
Yeah.
Maria.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Honestly. So I think this is going to be a different end game to what we've seen in the New Age Survivor, which I'm keen to see play out because it's almost been a little bit too similar in some of the winning ways of the New Age Survivor. I don't know. Anyway, it's a thought I had this while watching this episode. I said, man, we got some strong players still, physically strong players. And we haven't seen that heaps. I'm excited.
Mate, you've piqued my interest. That's something I have not thought about. I'm liking what you said there. You're very, very right. This is sort of a more physical dominated endgame coming into the final 10. And it looks like a majority of the bigger players have the power.
Yeah.
So it means that some of these smaller players, these social threats, could be cut a bit sooner. We look at a Charlie. We look at a Ben. These are social threats, but they don't look like they're going too much further. Charlie's probably a bit further than Ben, but Ben definitely isn't getting the credit for anything or the airtime for us to see me as thinking as he's long for this game. So
here's a question for you with Ben. Did Ben have a better episode? Or did Kenzie have a better episode? And there's a reason why I'm asking you this question.
Kenzie had a better episode.
Okay. Kenzie
had a great episode. And I want to justify this, and I want to just quickly run through who the best person was for people to get out in this tribe. I'll just quickly just this is my opinion, and I'd love for you to like fight me back on this.
Yeah.
Obviously, Tim. thinks Hunter's the biggest threat, wants to get Hunter out. He thinks that's the best play for him. I disagree, but that's who he thinks. Q, going into the episode, Ben's the best person to get out. Coming out, I do agree. Tim was probably better for him to get out at this circumstance.
Yeah.
Hunter is to get Tim out because Tim's vocally against you. Definitely a good thing. Kenzie, she's still in. She's got her Yanu. Hunter is obviously with Q. So it's in her best interest to get one of the two Seegers out. And she's got just made this huge personal bond with Ben. So Tim going's perfect for her. Okay. Obviously, Tiff wants things to keep going. She understands Ben's a social threat. She doesn't seem to have a thing with Ben. So she actually needs Tim out. And then Ben, realistically, the best person for Ben to get out is Q, but he doesn't have the social capital. So
no.
Hunter's sort of the next best option.
The fact that Tim went out was perfect for everyone but Q, in my opinion. And I, for Ben, it was terrible losing Tim. For Kenzie, it was perfect for Tim to go for her and Ben because they show that moment of real life and they love to show that. And I think it's an important part about Survivor that throughout the 40 days or 26 in this case, whatever it is, there's moments where real life comes in. And sometimes I think they show it because it's real life, right? And it's important to show it. Sometimes, and in this case, they did it because strategically, long-term, this is going to come into play for Kenzie. And I think it was a Kenzie moment just as much as it was a Ben moment.
Yeah, definitely, definitely it was. It was. We saw that in the edit. This was huge for Kenzie.
Yeah. And so for her, perfect. For Tiff, perfect. Tim goes out as well.
Look, I actually disagree with that. That's the one person that I wanted to throw it back at you. I genuinely believe for Tiffany, Ben was the right person to go out.
Tell me why.
Tiff is a social player. We've heard from a lot of people, especially in exit interviews. They like Tiff. They like Tiff. They like Tiff. Mm. Ben is a very similar person to Tiff. He just has no strategic game. So he's the sort of the person that can take people away from her. Mm-hmm. Even Kenzie, we've seen that connection with Kenzie. Kenzie's in Tiff's pocket. All of a sudden, when Kenzie's got to make a move, she just has to float over to Ben. It's in Tiff's best spot for Ben to go home and Tim to stay.
Yep.
But that's the only other person.
That's fair. I actually also thought Tim was not unlucky. I fully can see how it played out the way it did.
Yeah.
But Tim's thinking about Hunter was right in his mind in the sense of it was the wrong person to get out at this time. But he read the room very well. Yeah. He's read the room that Hunter is easily one of the biggest threats here. He just went at it at the wrong time.
Yeah.
And trusted in, and I don't know, and again, reading the room and reading other players, I think the biggest thing that I've learned watching Survivor, and if one of us get, not if, when one of us this, or both of us get these opportunities, you have to read other players. Him going to Q and saying Hunter was the worst decision because he should have read that Q was the plus one alliance mega mind.
Yeah.
He's always going to protect that. And if you come at him with another plan about against his alliance, he's not going to like it. Whereas if he went to Tiff or he went to Kenzie, perfect.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Perfect. And like I wrote it in that when we first see Tim talk about Hunter, I was like, great thinking. But as it unfolded, I was like, Q was the wrong person to go to. And I was sad that it ended up being Tim. And I might be getting ahead of talking about who goes out, but it just I thought he had more to give. But it's just this fast age Survivor. Yeah. It's ruthless.
Unfortunately, Fast Age Survivor, Seeger sticks out as they're together. And when you sort of think about it, so now you're coming into this tribal council, you're thinking Charlie's probably going home. He's the one on the outs on the other tribe.
Yeah.
Okay. Tim is trying to save Ben here. by going for Hunter. Yep. And I love that. I love what you said there, because I have the exact same thing written down. He should have gone to a Tiff or a Kenzie to go for Hunter. He shouldn't have gone to a Q. That's the only sort of variable I could see that could have changed this better in his favor.
Yep.
But him, for Tim, this is probably the best case scenario, is to just put 100% into the plus one alliance.
Yeah.
In this circumstance, it is actually in Tim's best interest to get Ben out and look like he's a malleable number for Q and Hunter, because Q and Hunter are always going to be in front of Tim. Tim's not the greatest social mind. He's not the most social, and he's not the most physical. Not as great strategic minded. So he's not coming out as that sort of a threat. He's not a social threat, and he's not as physical as a Q and a Hunter. Tim, it's the only person in this whole game, other than Q, that the plus one alliance is probably his best spot.
Yeah.
And he's fighting for Seager, which is a losing battle because they're so tight. And that's where Tim fucked up here.
Well, I disagree about the strategic side. I think he had strategically the right idea. But then everything else, I do agree, because the social side of it and the physical threat, but the social side of it, he didn't understand the strategic play, how to play the strategic game. So I think he understood the game. I think he knew the game and knew how to read who's doing well, who's not doing well, but it was then applying it is where he struggled.
Yeah.
And you're right. It just, he should have stuck with the plus one.
He should have.
Just because we know that, again, Survivor, it changes. You survive one day. Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, if you lose some control, you have to be willing to go with it for at least a minute. And he just couldn't.
He couldn't. He was too stubborn. He was genuinely too stubborn. And we've got a lot of stubborn players on this season.
He is Q almost, but just didn't have the backing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, look, I do like, yes, Hunter is probably a great person for him to get out, but I don't think he's the right person to get out.
Not at that point.
I think Ben, it's good to know that Hunter's there, but he loses Ben. I think he goes into next week and the week after and the week after with so much more control, trust, and he's got the options to pick up the miscellaneous and then go for a Hunter or a Q. Miscellaneous people. Now, I think I foresee a bit of a Kenzie and Tiff picking up the miscellaneous people in the future. We see them picking up a Ben, possibly a Liz, possibly some other people, maybe even a Venus if they can be patient enough. Well, they handle Barnu, so they've got to be pretty patient.
That's true. That's very true. The other side, because is there anything else that we need to touch on
one quick thing? Q in Tribal Council talking about Kenzie winning immunity. Now, this was a big moment, and it sounded genuinely sincere. It sounded very, very, very sincere. However, was it sincere? Because he doesn't seem completely against Kenzie. We haven't heard him talk or bring up that he's against Kenzie for a while. We don't know if Kenzie was going to be a target going into the Tribal Council if she wasn't immune. We just are guessing. That's a calculated guess from us. Was he throwing her under the bus? Can you throw her under the bus? She's pretty low on the totem pole at this moment.
I think that it was genuine. I thought it was another important moment for Kenzie. And it was just like him saying it, I think his mind frame's probably changed away from Kenzie for right now. Because it sounds terrible and I'm not judging at all. However, he's a sports guy. He's, in his mind, I think he's like, I'm the guy, the girls are behind me, and we're going to go, right? And so I think for now, like down the track, he would probably be happy to throw Kenzie under the bus. But for right now, I think he's gone, let's bolster us three up with this then greater alliance as well, which he obviously was so protective of, that it was genuine. I just don't think he realizes, again, he doesn't realize the damage he is causing himself.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I think, let's just quickly, before we go out of this, Q sticking around for a few more episodes is best for Hunter, Kenzie, and Tiff.
Yep.
I think everyone else needs to get Q out. I think it's smart for them to get Q out to open up the game because Q's genuinely not as against it. Maybe a Tevin might be having a Q, probably not a bad thing. I don't see it great having a Femaria. But Hunter's obviously for the Shield, and Kenzie and Tiff is obviously the Shield. And they're he's sort of the only person that he's shielding. These three are the only people that he's really shielding. So in a smart player's way, you want to sort of keep Q around for a little bit longer just to shield you for a few more tribal councils. But oh, I don't know. It's looking pretty bad for Q next week.
Yeah, I agree that it's looking bad for Q, but I don't think he's going anywhere. I think Tiff and Kenzie are too switched on, and Hunter, too switched on to realize, let's ride this wave, unless he does something really dumb, which is possible because we've started to see that. I do agree it's their best interest, and that's why I think it's going to happen, because I think they have more power now after this little split. I reckon the opposite split. We almost need to give them different names.
Yeah.
I reckon the other six.
The purple and the orange. The purple and the orange.
The orange, I think, for the next at least tribal, I think it's going to blow up there more.
Yeah.
I think. But we've obviously always been wrong in predictions. That's it.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on to the other tribe properly. Yep. However, just before, I want to talk about Charlie and Charlie telling Venus at the start of the episode, right after Tribal Council, that he put her name down. Now, we then get Coach, and you're a teacher. You're a teacher. So then we get Q trying to coach Charlie through it. I don't think he went about that the right way either. So, but we've talked enough about Q. What did you think about this for Charlie?
I understood. I think Charlie's just a nice person. And I think he's learning as he goes. I think he's not Spencer, but a Spencer-esque type player, where at the start of the season, he's a nice guy, makes some mistakes, and I think this was a mistake, but it didn't bite him in the bum, and he's learning that. And I think you see that with more that we get to see from Charlie throughout the episode. It was silly. He didn't need to put it out there. But again, I think it was just he's nice. He got flustered and was like, I need to say something. and almost got guilted into saying something. Poor move by Charlie, but I don't think it's going to hurt him.
Yeah. Look, for Charlie's archetype, this good old clean-cut kid that is honest to everyone, that's not coming out as a big sort of strategic force. That's not what people are foreseeing. Everyone wants to work with Charlie. Everyone likes Charlie.
Yep.
I actually don't see it as a horrible thing. Now, I do definitely agree. This could have caused some shit. This would have been a great thing to have in his back pocket, especially if no one else knew. But if he was planning to tell other people, then I think it's in his best interest to tell Venus first and get it out there in the open. If he's going to tell his alliance, that could come back to bite him in the ass as a good old boy, as a good clean-cut kid. I actually think it's smart that he told Venus straight up.
Yeah.
Because it gets it out there. And he's probably going to tell a Maria. He's probably going to tell a Ben. He's probably going to tell a Tim if Tim was back. Probably going to tell a Tim. They could use that against him in the future. He's not as trustworthy as you all think he is. So if he's going to tell people, might as well tell one person, which then everyone knows.
Yeah.
So yes, if he could hold off and not tell a single soul, I think it's a stupid move. I think he needed to leave that in there because it would play puppet master and cause some shit. But I actually don't mind it from the Charlie archetype. From other people, I'd hate it.
Yeah.
I completely hate it. But this brings us into this. Now, you talked about how much you loved the dynamics, and this is a long podcast for American Survivor. We've talked almost as long as the episode is. and we're only onto the second team. But I actually like the dynamics of this tribe even more than I liked the dynamics of the other tribe. I love this because you've got the Maria and the Charlie. Maria, who has individual immunity, leaving Charlie as the only viable option if we run down tribe lines. Mm. And then we have the plus one alliance. Now, this plus one alliance does even more damage in this tribal council than in the other one.
Yeah.
And it's I think this is like really funny because Tevin, who we haven't heard much about the plus one alliance from, is 100% in on this. He's 100% in on the plus one alliance.
Yeah.
And Maria, we haven't seen that she is. We know she knows about it. It was a bit confusing her learning about it.
Mm.
But, and we do hear when she's talking to Tevin and even to the camera, she does bring up, then there's the plus one alliance. Then there's this alliance that I've got. But she doesn't ever actually say, she's 100% in on it.
Mm.
And as Maria and Charlie talk about, they end up getting the power in this.
They do. And I loved this. I love this flip. The Maria and Charlie flip, I didn't think it was going to happen to start with. Like, because there was a lot of flipping and there was the Venus thing. Yeah, And Soda kind of mentions Venus as well. But at the end of the day, I was like, I think they're still just going to fall on just knocking out one of them. Yeah. I felt that way. I was pretty strong with it. And then as soon as immunity was done and we came back to the beach that they were at, I was like, wait, there's a shift. And it was, I didn't even know. Do you have noted what you feel like the shift was? Was it just that Venus was so focused on, or was it more the fact that Charlie and Maria realized that we've got an opportunity here? So does the person. So let's work with who we need to work with.
I think Maria and Charlie, especially Maria, who then Charlie follows.
Yeah.
I think the plus one alliance had the power here. And as I talked about, I'm not 100%. I think the biggest question is Maria 100% in on the plus one alliance? I'm not sure if she's going to be after Tim getting voted out, but do you think she was going into this?
I don't think so.
Then she played this even more perfectly because she used it when she needed it.
Yeah.
Next week, it's demolished anyway because they've voted Tim out. So all of a sudden, there's no plus one alliance anyway. But she's played that perfectly. She's literally just let Tevin run the show. Tevin, do your worst, work it out, and we'll just back you. Now, the Venus factor, that changes things up. But I think as soon as Tevin decided it was Zoda, it was because when you're the minority, so the secret minority on this NAMI majority, and you've been given this one option from the person that you're probably the closest with strategically because of this plus one alliance, you just let them take control and you just sit back and do what they say.
This makes me think, is Maria a genius? Because...
Yes, she is.
Because... The last episode, she plays this like it feels like she doesn't know much about the plus one alliance. She's not dumb. So she may have heard about it. Maybe she didn't know heaps about it. But you know what she does? She lets Q go and Tevin go into it and talk about it. And she allows them again just to have control.
Yeah.
She's just listening to us. She's soaking it up. She's, you know, this is... Maria, don't worry about her. She's on our side. Forget about her. She's also not a threat.
Yeah. Maria has played this so perfectly, but let's talk about Tevin. I really want to get into this because we're going to... Unfortunately, Mac's not here to argue with, but the small conversation that we had with Mac likes Tevin.
And he does.
I think this was the worst move for Tevin. This is such a stupid move in my mind because... Yes, don't get me wrong, Soda is a social threat. She seems to get these plays. I can understand why he's been hesitant of her in the past because she had such that great friendship with Venus at the start, and she sort of still kept Venus in the loop but tried to keep her at arm's length, but they're still talking. Soda's also like pretty out there. For Tevin, keeping Soda around and getting rid of Venus, who is well and truly after her,
yeah,
is the best move. Soda sticks around. She's quite loud. So there's your social threat. There's your, I guess, annoying threat to a certain extent, because like Tevin's a very outgoing person. So he's definitely like that. Then you've also got an option. You've got your plus one alliance, which you're 100% in on. But you've got an option just in case the plus one alliance goes to shit next week.
I want to know, at what point does Tevin go, no, Soda's my person that I'm going to get out? Like, it just...
He's been building up for a few weeks now. Like, he said it when he was on Nami. He was debating if Nami went to tribal council. I think Soda was actually the person that was going to go home. He called it the devil you know sort of thing. So Venus is definitely out there. She's definitely on the bottom. We can keep her there. Whereas Soda is a social threat. She could get to the end, blah, blah, blah. I know that Liz has been pushing Soda under the bus for a while as well.
Yeah, yeah, true.
That's probably definitely helped it. But it was a bad move back then.
And it's a bad move because they're so similar in the social game that you almost need that around, right?
It's an option instead of you.
Yeah, correct. And just like my opinion on Tevin going into this week was Tevin, I was like, he's playing a good game. I feel like there's a few things that are going well for him. And just like Tevin this episode, flip-flop. I was flip-flopped on him completely. I was like, going into it, I had Tevin as like, I do a little bit of a power ranking. Yeah. I was like, he's probably third on my power ranking last episode. This episode, it just dived. And I was just like, oh, Tevin, what are you doing? What do you see benefiting you in this move? The devil you know, again, keep him.
Especially now, and just to throw even more air onto this, Tevin's gone 100% on the plus one alliance, but the plus one alliance does not exist anymore. Tim's been voted out. Yes, he doesn't know this at the time, but you got to think, you need other options. You can't just go 100% in on one alliance. Even Q's not doing that. Even Q's got his Nami friends. Like, Tevin, what are you doing, mate?
This alliance has taken over this season.
It's beautiful. It's great.
And it's fascinating because we don't actually see, we don't have other alliance. Well, we do have other alliances, obviously, but we don't have other big alliances. We don't have other big names for alliances. It's just this plus one alliance. Yeah. And the theme is going to continue. I thought Tevin was the type of player that was going to use the plus one to his advantage, roll with it when he needs to. And then
fuck him off.
But he's not. Well, it doesn't feel that way anyway. It feels like he got really suckered into it, and almost like because the rest of the plus one was on the other six, it almost like he had to take over it and go, well, now I got to protect it and got to run with it. But then taking out Soda, does that actually protect it?
No, it doesn't.
Like,
He has Soda. Venus is on the outside. Venus is someone that someone eventually is going to pick up and challenge the plus one alliance. Soda probably votes with the plus one alliance without even realizing it for the next two votes.
Yeah. And I think maybe part of the thinking for Tevin is that almost what we're saying about Soda, he thinks more so about Venus in the sense of she's loud. No one's going to really work with her, keep her around. It's not going to hurt me.
I definitely see that. Look, I think we can both agree, and I think I'm going to bring up another name in a second that we could agree on. Who are we seeing as the zero vote finalist for this season? I'm seeing a Venus and or Liz.
Liz. Oh, really?
Liz.
I don't think she would be a zero vote.
Really? She's
Because
definitely, she literally goes to tribal council and talks about how she didn't bring her bag. Even if you don't bring your bag, you don't talk about it. You don't flaunt that you've got all this power in front of the people, especially at the vote that someone's going to the jury.
I just think, Liz, I'm still scarred when winners win that I feel like they have no capital in winning.
Yeah.
Right? And I could list a few, but for this sake, for me, Liz, I'm waiting for Liz's moment. And I feel like it's
coming.
It's coming. Is it going to be terrible or is it going to be awesome?
Is she the Erica of this season?
Yeah. That's kind of like, so I'm sitting on Liz and I'm waiting for something and we haven't got it. So I could see a zero vote. But the way that the New Age has played out as well, I've learnt or learning to, I got to be patient because some stories they wait. And in the past, that hasn't been the case. If they're not really telling it, it's because it's a zero vote.
Yeah.
But Liz, dumb comment, right? The comment at Tribal, you sit down, yeah. I'm not bringing my bag. Well, yeah. I'm strong. Dumb comment, but also a comment that she's saying, I'm never wavering to the people that she's loyal to.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sitting on Liz. I don't know what it is about her. It's frustrating me a little bit because I like your confidence of, nah, she's done. Like, she's...
I want to reinforce my argument. So...
Go.
I think Liz's... Now, what I'm seeing for zero vote finalists is... She had taught, we have this issue at the start of the season where she flaunts how much money she's got. She doesn't need the money.
True.
She does. She just flaunts it. And then an episode or two later, oh, no guy's good enough for me. sort of flaunts this. And this here, her not bringing her bag is just a proving of confidence. Yeah. Now, on television, we like to... build people up to cut them the fuck down.
We do.
And don't get me wrong, I've got no other zero vote finalist as Liz as an option. I've got no other facts to support. I've got no other theories to support it. Mm. But this confidence that she keeps bringing, and I genuinely believe she's actually playing a really good game. I actually give Soda's being voted out as a long-term move. I actually almost give it to Liz.
Mm.
I think Liz has been, I've heard that Liz has been undermining her. We've heard from Liz that she's not, or we've heard from Tevin that Liz doesn't like her. Yep. We've heard from Hunter that Liz doesn't like her. So I think this is actually Liz, this has been a very long-term move. So I'd almost possibly think about giving this move to Liz from a long-term perspective. I think she's almost an under-edited Mike White.
Oh, yeah.
Playing the game, never really two out in front, but at the same time, she's still in everything. She's there. Yeah. She's hanging around with that money option, which was something that Mike White used. He thought, they're never going to let me win because they know how much money I got, but I'll use this to my advantage. She's definitely using that to her advantage. I don't need to win. I'm just here. I want you to win the game. Blah, blah, blah. This, I don't know. I just see it. It's pretty cool.
I'm trying to find holes in your logic right now, but I can't in the sense.
Mac, like, we need you. We need arguments, Mac. Where's this? We just keep agreeing.
I know. I did think that. I was like, but I see it. I definitely see it. My only, I guess, thought to that is if her, tribe mates get voted out. If Tevin goes, if Venus goes, if Hunter goes.
Yeah, she doesn't really have a whole lot.
Does she also, is that the moment we see Liz and it's a moment where she just flips?
Yeah.
Like she loses control.
Yeah.
Goes, you know, and that might be the case. But again, someone does that, you're taking them to the end. So like.
That's it. Zero vote finalists. That's what I'm saying. It's between Liz and Venus and. Look, Venus, oh, man, if we get a full season of Venus, this could be my favorite season of the new era, even with a Barnu in it.
Let's leave that to the end. I'm keen to talk about who potentially is going home. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's. I've only got a few things left to talk about. That was Love pretty it. Much. Another thing that we had at Tribal Council is we have Soda on her way out, and she thinks that Venus, and she says, was this you? And Venus nods, and then Tevin's got, no. That's interesting, especially as we talk about the mayor of Jury Villa, and we talk about how who they like genuinely gets a lot of help in the game. And if she thinks that Venus has orchestrated that move, that could be a snowball effect to maybe not a zero vote finalist for Venus. Could we have Liz as a zero vote finalist, Venus as the runner up, and Hunter as the winner?
You're wrong. That is
That's a good season, but that's a good end of the season.
We've had such a good season with Australian Survivor that's just wrapped up. Surely we can't get another one. If we do, we're in that sweet spot right now. But I do think that Soda's going to have influence on the jury. Yeah,
definitely. Especially being as social as she is.
Yes, correct. And she's going to get to know every single one of those jury members very well. Does that hurt players like Liz? Definitely. Yeah. Does that hurt players like Tevin now? Definitely. Yes. And does that help players like Hunter? Yes.
Yeah. And Venus.
And Venus, ironically.
She needs as much help as she needs.
Hey, it's happening. So I did want to touch on both vote outs. I thought for Tim and Soda, firstly, Tim, devastating he doesn't get to be on the jury.
We talked about this last season. I don't like this setup. If you've made it to this episode, the double boot.
Yeah.
I don't like it. It's too brutal.
It's like you lose everything all at once. And that's what I was going to touch on. You see the emotion, which I like, but it also destroys you in Tim. And he
cries on his way out, and it's just like, whoa, like this is a man's man. He's not someone that just cries on a whim.
No. His exit interview where he goes, it might take a while, but I'm going to get over this. You watch his eyes and it's like, oh, he's not getting over this. But then Soda has her moment too. It's for a game that's been on air for 25 years, 4 years now for the Americans, a lot of these people have been applying for years. A lot of these people have been, it's their childhood.
It's everything.
And I think it's such an awesome moment, devastating, but awesome moment to see what Survivor has meant to a country, to a world. Like if I was in that situation, I would feel the same. And I just think it's worth shouting out both Tim and Soda, but especially Tim, just because he missed out on that jury thing. Like, kudos to you to show your emotion. Kudos to you to just show that rawness of it. And, of course, that just happened. He wouldn't have put that on at all. It just naturally would have happened. But it was a devastating moment, but also a beautiful moment for Survivor. I loved it. Sorry, I love this game so much, and I think that those moments are worth highlighting, and I just wanted to check
Well, let's quickly talk about what's happening next week on Survivor. After we talk about Mac and my picks from last week, we thought we were going to lose a Kenzie and a Ben. I think we've already discussed it. Like, that was bang.
Well, you actually picked the new alliance.
I know. I picked the new alliance. Kenzie, Ben, win the game now.
Final two.
We talked about it. We had some very sound thinking behind it. It didn't work out. And obviously, having the split tribes, you not know the split tribes, doesn't help. And then Kenzie obviously kicks ass in immunity. Let's talk about what do you think's going on next week.
Next time on Survivor.
I just want to bring up on the little flash forward that we get on the episode. Looks like a fucking pretty crazy week. We got Hunter's got a spy shack in a tree. No. That's awesome. That's awesome.
People calling out to him, Hunter.
In Australia, you're not allowed to get like 2 meters off the ground or something.
Yeah, safety. Yeah.
in America, you're allowed to fucking climb trees. Because I'm an arborist. I want to climb a palm tree.
Find a 2 meter tall one.
Yeah, exactly. But then we also see Liz gets the shits with Tavern.
Mm-hmm.
We get Q getting the shits and mob bossing it with Tiffany. Mm-hmm. It seems like mm-hmm. Tiffany. And then it looks like it's going to be like the craziest tribal council ever. Obviously, they say that every week. But I actually genuinely sort of believe it, that it's going to come up, and this is that we've never seen this before. Could this be a twist? Could this be a alliance? Could this be rocks? We haven't seen rocks in the new era.
That's true.
Oh, no, we had. We saw it at the start of 42 or 43.
Not in a moment like this. We haven't seen it. I think what we will see is a tribal where a lot of people speak up. We've got so many strong personalities still, and I think there's going to be a split decision. I feel like it's going to be chaos, absolute chaos next episode. But personally, I think it's very clear, and I shouldn't say very when you're about to make a prediction, very clear who's going home. I think you want me to just give it to you?
Yeah, give it to me.
I think Tevin's done.
Tevin's done.
I think Tevin's done. And here's my reasoning for it. I think it shows Q and even the episode that we just had, Q, terrible episode, shows a little bit of him having an argument. I think Tiff and Kenzie are too smart to get rid of him already.
Yeah.
So I think that he stays. I'd be devastated. I had that slight feeling of Hunter because of the he's up in the.
But he's got immunity idol, mate.
He does. Yeah. So I don't think it's going to happen. I had that brief like, ugh. But Tevin and what we spoke about tonight, he made a bad move. He's jumped on the plus one. He took out someone that was a bit of a shield to him, and I think it comes crashing down. And we see moments in this episode where, if things aren't going his way, he does get frazzled.
Yeah.
And I think Liz's moment that I was speaking
about is coming up next week.
So I think Tevin is a goner.
That's a pretty hot take. I like it. I definitely am not going down that path. The truth is, I'm going to disagree. I'm not sure if Kenzie and Tiff are going to keep Q around.
Okay.
I think him being such a figurehead and such a pain in the ass, I guess, to work with, gets the best of them. And I see the final 10 vote as being a Q going home.
I like that. I can see where you got it.
Yeah.
I can see where you got
Look, we've talked about how it's probably not smart for Kenzie and Tip. It's not smart for Hunter, but whether they do what's smart or not is why we watch Survivor.
And also, they can't control Q. And if he keeps down the track that he's showed us already, it could happen.
Yeah.
I'm keen to see it play out.
Okay, mate. Holy shit. We still got two eulogies to get to. Okay, well, let's talk about, did you want to start us off with Tim? Like, you've already sort of eulogized him a little bit. Do you want to fill in the blanks? Do you want to rank him as a player? Rank him as a character? Bring up a memorable moment, and do you think we'll see him again?
I'm going to start off with, we won't see Tim again.
Yeah.
I am sad to say that, and I think if it wasn't a shortened format, we would have seen Tim more dominate a game. I think a longer format would have suited Tim, and I just don't think he was prepared for the fast-paced lifestyle of the new era of Survivor. Tim also, I loved his moment in the immunity challenge between him and Jeff and Q. There was a lot of sweet moments to just cut him.
Yeah.
It was almost like Tim's a good dude. He had some good thinkings. The biggest part that Tim got wrong was his social part. Yeah. I think he had a couple of good alliance members in his tribe, but once it got split, he was not prepared. Yeah. And that's all she wrote.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. Look, as a character, I really didn't mind him. He brought a lot to his tribe. The stubborn older person, like reasonably physical. Like I liked him as a character. I wouldn't say he was amazing. I wouldn't say he was the most brilliant character I've seen on my TV, but I liked him. As a player, I think he got it right. Look, his strategy wasn't completely unsound. I didn't mind his strategy. I think, the fast pace of the game sort of caught up with him. Being too loyal caught up with him a little bit. His social game was what really fucked him over. I just think it was just a bit too much for him. As a memorable moment, I'm actually going to go with the whole not telling Maria about the plus one alliance moment. No, I haven't told her yet. I was going to tell her. I died.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that or when he sort of calls Jem out. Digging for the idol, and he calls Jem out. Jem, did you hide the idol? That I think is another moment. Will he return? Nah, he's not in this new era. There's definitely better characters, bigger archetype, bigger people in his archetype that we will see return.
I think so.
Yeah. I still think he deserved to be on the jury.
Mm. Yeah, so did I. I would have liked to see more of him, and you know, something as simple as that could get someone back for another season.
Seeing a bit of like stress in his face at Tribal Council, sort of not knowing what's going on. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about Soda. Look, Soda is a player. I didn't see a whole lot. I can understand. I actually learnt more from her exit interview than I saw in the game. To me, as a player, it looked more like she was very social. She was too loyal to the people that were against her, like Tevin. It turned out, and Hunter obviously wanted her out so he could be closer to Tevin. Venus ended up wanting her out. She ended up playing the Nami tribe wrong. On a different tribe, I think she'd have a better chance. She just got a bit unlucky with who she was matched up with. If she was, say, on a Seeger, I feel like she could have lived in that Kumbaya area a lot better than in the madness of Nami. As a character, she didn't pop out to me. I think we've had so many fun younger girls like a Marianne and... like that, she sort of gets put on the back burner a little bit, which sort of brings me to I don't see her returning anytime soon. She was also given a little bit of the villain edit to a certain extent with the Venus, because I think they've, even though Venus is sort of the villain, they're sort of pushing, they push Soda aside so then we can like Venus a little bit more and fall in love with her. And Soda, the memorable moment is grabbing the immunity idol off Venus, right? Give it to me.
that was definitely mine as well for memorable moment. My short eulogy for Soda is I think life after this eulogy will be bigger for Soda. And what I mean by that is I actually think we're going to see more of her even just being on the jury.
Yeah. She's got some good facial expressions.
So I feel like you'll see it pan to her. I feel like you will see more of her now that she's out of the game than in. That actually trends me to believe I reckon she'll get another chance.
Okay.
I didn't necessarily gel to her either as a player, but I feel like she's probably going to give enough to potentially be that second chance type player that they see enough of. So I don't know. I'm going on a limb and just saying we might see her again because they seem to like this archetype as well.
Me and Mac, and I think I really struggle with this, me and Mac in this conversation every week that we have eulogizing players, we often disagree. And it's not because I'm wrong. He tends to then change my mind because he brings up things. And you did the exact same thing there. I think you might be right. She definitely sort of brought enough. And I just don't seem to read this very well, whether it's they'll also, come back or not.
It's also a hard one because we haven't seen a returnee season for the
new era. For the new era yet.
So we don't actually know what that's going to look like. So it's hard to kind of judge, but I think she might get a chance.
Yeah. No, awesome. Okay. Now let's get into my favorite part of the episode. Buckles buff of the episode.
Yeah. Oh, mate, I'm ready.
Okay. All right. Well, if you're ready, why don't you give me yours straight up?
Well, I have a winner pick who I am also giving my buff to.
Yeah.
at the very start of the game, I picked Kenzie as my player to win the season. And this episode for me was way too big and important for her. We'd seen enough of Kenzie for it to be a winner's edit that's not in your face.
Yeah.
We see the Ben moment, the real life moment that I've already touched on, I think is also going to be bigger for the game. Yeah. She's now got someone and now also getting Ben and being able to vote out Tim gave her even more say to have Ben sitting next to her. I think that her and Tiff have got closer as Q has destroyed that. You know, I think if Q played it better, Kenzie probably was on the outs. But now Tiff and Kenzie are stronger. Pardon me.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, her immunity win, I think, gained respect from players, but no threat was taken.
Yeah.
And Q spoke up and said what he said at Tribal. Hey, let's applaud her. She killed it. It was genuine enough, but it wasn't threatening. It yeah. wasn't, I'm trying to take this person out. And I just think those moments are telling a story. Yeah. And I also am going to go out on one more limb with Kenzie's episode, this episode. There's a few things I could say, but this last one. I think she slipped off the immunity bracket when she did.
Yeah.
I don't think she was done. I think she fell off once the second person fell off, knowing she'd won immunity. I reckon she went off.
Yeah.
Just going to say.
There you go. There you go. Hot take. Hot take. Thank you, Jordan. okay. Look, I actually got the entire way through this episode because at the start of the episode, you told me your buff is going to your winner pick and you didn't want to sound biased. Well, I'm going to reinforce that. Because mine was Kenzie as well. I genuinely thought you were going to give it to Maria. This entire episode, I thought you were going to give it to Maria. I thought I was going to get, Maria's going to win this game. She's my winner pick. But no, Kenzie, that was a shock to me. I love that. Kenzie deserves this. We talked about Kenzie so much, and I think the wonderful things that she did, the personal moment with Ben, if there is a tribe, a split, an alliance that will go up against this plus one alliance, it's going to happen eventually.
Mm-hmm.
I see Kenzie as the forerunner. I see Kenzie as the person that, whether she's the figurehead or if she's the social glue, she's one of those two or both at the same time. She's I do like her. I don't see her winning this game, so I disagree with you there, but definitely gets my buff for this episode. Now,
I love that.
Yeah. Now, we agreed on that, and now let's talk about Max Buff. Now, Max Buff... Now, I think Mac might have changed his mind after talking about it for as long as we have. But Max Buff, everyone, went to someone that we have been very down on this episode. Max Buff went to Tevin. Now, we will give Mac the benefit of the doubt. He wasn't here to fight and prove why Tevin gets his buff. So Tevin still gets his buff. But I hope you've changed your mind by now, Mac.
It's nice that Tevin gets an extra buff because it's the last one he's getting.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Let's bring up the leaderboard. We lose Tim on one buff. And, of course, we lost Banu with his lucky buff that he got. Maria, Hunter, and Tevin are all on one buff. Tiffany's on two. Kenzie's on three. And Q is still winning on the leaderboard on five.
You know what's so fascinating about the leaderboard? Who are the top three players?
The bloody Yanu players. But that's because they've been in every episode.
That's actually true. That's actually true.
Yeah. Well, Mac strictly only gives players a buff if they went to Tribal Council, whereas sometimes I see players that didn't go to Tribal Council and I'll give them a buff. So I think Maria got a buff, and other than Maria, it was everyone else was Yanu. Yeah, the first few weeks,
which makes sense as well. But good leaderboard. I love it.
Awesome. Okay, Jordan, mate, this has been a pleasure having you on. This has been an absolute fun time, and I genuinely believe this is the longest episode we've done for American Survivor. This has gone longer than the episode of American Survivor. Mate,
thank you. What everyone who's
got,
here?
What do you got going on? Talk to me about Hunted. How's life been since Hunted?
It has been chaotic, and that's because it's the way I live my life. I just say yes to everything, and just like the opportunity to be on Hunted and applying for Survivor every single year, you've got to put yourself out there. So it's been a whirlwind. It was crazy watching yourself back after living that experience. And the school that I work at was incredible. The kids, students loved it. Parents loved it. Teachers loved it. And the wider community. Now, it's not like the biggest show on TV. So it's not like...
It's not Survivor yet.
No, exactly. Not yet. That will happen.
That
will happen. Not maybe. Short of it, the biggest thing that's going on for me right now, besides I've got three beautiful babies, my wife Elise, all under 4.5. So that's going
Thanks
on.
Thanks a lot of your time. Yeah.
Yes, which I love. But I also have started my own coffee roasting business.
Oh, awesome.
So I love coffee, always have, worked in the industry for a long time before being a teacher. Parable Coffee Roasters. If you ever want some yummy specialty coffee, go and check it out. And besides that, just work. And I play 3x3 basketball semi-professionally.
Oh,
and
yeah, awesome. Yeah.
So there's a few things going on. I can't help myself because I got to keep myself busy. So, yeah. And right now...
You're definitely busy, mate.
Busy. Yeah. But... right now, Survivor application. That's also a big focus. But guys, I just want to thank yourself for letting me on. Well, both of you, because obviously...
Mac was supposed to be
Mac
here.
That's right. Mac has the flu and is down and hopefully sleeping right now. I just want to thank both of you for the opportunity to jump on. Happy to do it again. I love Survivor. You guys love Survivor, and it's cool just to talk. We probably agreed too much.
Too much. We need so Mac. We need Mac to attack us. We need Mac in here. We need a bit more banner. We need Mac attacking us.
That's right. Cool.
Don't worry. Everyone always agrees with me. They don't care what Max thinks.
But I absolutely loved it. So thanks, guys. I appreciate it. How about yourself? What's going on for you right now?
Mate, I have everything going on. It is busy, busy, busy. As you said, Australian applications. So obviously people are sort of contacting me about that. And so I got no idea. I haven't even been on the fucking show. Don't talk to me. and then I've got my own that I've got to get in. Me and my mates, we go forward driving. We tape it while we're out there. Mm-hmm. Epic Oz Adventures. Hit us up on YouTube. It's a bit of fun. There's some fun shit. I don't have as big a part of that. My mates sort of run that, but
that's cool.
I get to cameo. So
why not?
And I like forward driving, so fucking why not?
That's awesome.
But that's, yeah. Other than that, hit us up on Survivor Buffs, Blindsides, and Banner. Get us on Instagram, Survivor_3BS. Get us on Twitter, Twitter or X at Survivor3BS. And on TikTok at Buffs, Blindsides, and Banter. I've been Buckles. Max been sick. Jordan Hutchinson's with us. Thanks, guys. Thanks, guys.
See you, guys.
See ya.
Is this Survivor? Are you listening to Survivor? Guys, I think this is Survivor. Dude, you must really like Survivor.